good to see y'all this morning. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we can be here together, Lord, and just talking to someone this week about the scripture saying that as we see the end approaching, we should gather together the more. Lord, we see that end approaching. Yes. Lord, I don't see how this world can hold itself together much longer, Lord. And I don't think it's intended to. I think that this is the hour that you brought it to, Lord. Man is going to destroy himself. And we're so glad, Lord, we got that tower that we can run into, Lord, refuge that we can rest in, Lord, not have to worry about this, Lord, knowing we're going to exchange this body for a new one day soon anyways. And Lord, it's kind of odd to the world, Lord, that your children think and look forward to that day, Lord, and not dreading it, but looking forward to it, Lord. Is this the thing that we know is part of your word and it's a part of your unfolding, Lord? And we pray that you'll bring it to pass, Lord. That you'll bring this word into our hearts, Lord. Show us what's in there, Lord, that you put in there before the foundation of the world. Bring these things to pass. Bless the word now. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I had something I wanted to read before we start the reading from the quotes. And it goes with the message. But I ran across this little short testimony that Brother Fred Sothman gave about being up there when the cloud, when the angels came. And I thought I would read this little piece of it here because it was interesting. We know that there were dreams. Brother Roy Borders had a dream that Brother Branham was set at the head of the table, and he was different. And they talked about, you know, having to looking and speaking with authority and things. And this happened at the same time that we saw Christ appear in Arizona there in the cloud with the crown. And as we were talking there in the forum, there in the fellowship forum there the other day, talking about the fact that it happened in the Coronado Forest, which means in Spanish means crowned. And you think about, you know, Brother Perry Green brought a little presentation one time and said that Tucson, the name that the Indians gave in that area, Tucson meant to send a message. And from in that area, that's where they would send messages so that a lot of the tribes would know all at once when they sent it. And the things just stack up of what was going on and what was happening. But the fact that we saw Brother Branham talk about God being and coming as supreme authority with that white wig. And at the same time, we see these dreams taking place. We see God witnessing and putting that pillar of fire above the prophet's head and talking about those things. And then let me read this little, that little background. Let me read this little excerpt here. This is Fred Sothman. We heard this blast. It sounded like seven of them planes breaking the serum barrier at the same time. It was such a bang. And I thought, mercy, they'll hear that all over the country. And then we come back together, him and Brother Gene and him and Brother Branham, they came back together. And I could see at that, the very time that blast went, there was the pillar of fire above Brother Branham. So he saw the pillar of fire above Brother Branham. And I could see that Brother Branham, he looked different. And truly, he was different. So Brother Fred was there when this was taking place. And now, the last few messages that we've been talking about has been from the prophet to the prophecy. So we've done had a prophecy go forth. The prophet gave us one. months before this took place. And all the different things that had been said since the river there in 1933 about him forerunning the second coming and all the different prophecies that went forth, we have watched it come slowly from the prophet to the prophecy. And so this is just showing that what happened here with the same prophet. The same man was there. It goes right along with what Brother Bram said, that he was here when that took place. Now, let's start in events made clear by prophecy. For the Bible is a living, foretold witness of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a big statement right there. A foretold witness. That means it's telling, it's witnessing to what's going to happen before it ever happens. It's a foretold witness. That's what the Bible is. And it's witnessing about Jesus Christ. So the Bible's telling you about Jesus Christ before it ever takes place. That's what Brother Ram's telling us. And not only is it that, but it's a living witness. It's living words. Now, you can talk to somebody out here and they'll tell you something, and you might take those words and then they fail over and over and over. Humans fail over and over and over. But these words are living. And when you take them, like Brother Bram's going to tell us here in a minute, they produce something. And now think about this. The Bible is a living, foretold witness of Jesus Christ. And what were those seals? Brother Bram said those seals sealed up something in this Bible, in this book. It sealed it up. So even though it's a living, foretold witness of Jesus Christ, something about it is sealed up, and it's been sealed up since the foundation of the world. So in order to really know Jesus Christ, when he come on the scene, Jesus come on the scene, Brother Bram says, right there he was. That was the full manifestation of God in front of us. And the seals were still on him. We still couldn't see everything that was in him and everything that was about him, as he, even though he's there among us, because the seals are still on the book. This is the book living, walking around in front of men, and yet the seals were still on it. Nobody could understand everything about what was going on in Jesus. Nobody could understand oneness with God. They had it all mixed up about the Trinity and what oneness was and eternal sonship and all these other things. And they had all this stuff mixed up. So the seals, that's my point. Even though the Bible is a living witness of God, a living foretold witness of Jesus Christ, it was still sealed up. And he's going to talk about that now. It being the living witness. And as the earth has grown into its fullness, and also vines grow into their fullness, the day grows into its fullness, the Bible has manifested in its fullness in the person of Jesus Christ. He was the Word of God revealed. The whole complete book of redemption, Jesus was. And people didn't understand him. The prophet, even after he died and they were walking on the road to Emmaus, they still didn't understand what had went on even. And then Paul even said after that, that he was still looking through a glass darkly. And the prophet said that they probed through all them church ages, still probing, still not understanding completely what was going on, because the book was sealed still. He was the Word of God revealed, the whole complete book of redemption. He was walking around in front of them, this whole book. The Bible is God's word foretelling the future events. You see how he's using the book of redemption and the Bible? He just interchanges them back and forth. You watch how he does that. Its believers is commanded by its author to read and believe every word of this living witness, not just a part of it. See how crucial it is that if this is the living word of God, if it's God living and you leave off one part of it, you're dead still. One word to believe, disbelieve it, you might as well quit trying until you believe that word. Every word is absolutely a part of Almighty God. And people do not treat it that way. Not this Bible. They don't treat the Bible that way for sure. And they treat the message with much more disdain than the Bible even. They think they can mix mash it up and turn it all around. But buddy, you talk about their individuality and they'll tell you all about their truth. They have their truth and don't you step on their truth. But you go to God and start talking about God's truth, you can mishmash that all up. The God that made them all, they can tell everything they want to about him. But don't you step on their truth. The bunch of hogwash that Satan's twisted into people's minds and stuff.
Amen.
Every word is absolutely a part of Almighty God. God made manifest, wound into his word. God wound into his word. If you accept that word, there's no way on this earth that you can't become part of that word. God's made a way if you'll accept it. We are commanded as believers to believe every word of it. And it's wrote by the author of God himself. There's nobody can add anything to it or take anything from it. What does that mean? God's his own interpreter. He's the one going to bring it to pass. He's the only one going to bring it to pass, no matter how many times people try to interpret it themselves. If you would, it would be a freak body of God if you tried to do it yourself. It would have maybe like 6 fingers on one hand or 3 arms or something to add something to take something away from it. And there'd be one arm short or one finger short. It's the complete body of Jesus Christ. And in Christ, being the male, the groom, the bride is represented in him also. So now let's scroll back to the top there and let's look at that first one we read. For the Bible is a living foretold witness of Jesus Christ. So if you're represented in him, the Bible is a living foretold witness of you too. Because you're represented in him. You see how it can't produce anything but him. And see how you can't accept anything but it. I'm sorry I'm getting emotional, but it means something, brother and sister. You know, if the only time we think about God is when we have church, we're in trouble. So let's don't be that. It's the complete body of Jesus Christ. All right, I got that. The bride's represented in him also. And these two are one. At that day, you'll know that I am in the Father and the Father. At that day, when we see this that's going on, in the last days, when we see these things breaking, in that day, you'll know. That day you'll know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. There's got an appointed time when that's going to happen. What a complete masterpiece. I mean, a complete picture. You think about that. There's a certain time this is going to take place. And the true believers in this word who accept it that way. What way? What did he just say? That the Father in me and I in you and you in me. What a complete picture. When you accept it, that you are in that message. That is your word. That's defining you. I sent out that little quote here this past week that talked about, you know, and I think I'll read it again this morning. But it's not, everything we read in the Bible is a promise. It's not some hurdle that you got to figure out how to get past. It's the word, it's you that you accept and you become part of it. God brings it to pass. He's his own interpreter. You think about it. God brings his word to pass. Are you his word? Then he's going to bring you to pass. And if you accept it that way, that's what he's talking about right here. And the true believers in this word who accept it that way, believe it and with patience wait for its prophesied promises every one of them to be manifested in his age. Every believer has watched for it. The believer has watched for it. Every believer that's been on the toes watching is the ones that's been revealed to. Nobody else. Just those ones that's been on their toes looking for it. Now, I'm just going to let God tell you what that means. The Holy Spirit will tell you what it means to be on your toes looking for it. You read this message. You read the Bible. What was on their mind all the time? It was another seed. It was God's word being made manifest. It was being a witness to the hour that they were in. It wasn't everything about this world. Now, one in a million. Coming to Tucson, it was strange. Those visions speaking to you in the name of the Lord. See, those visions that he spoke to you in the name of the Lord. That was the Lord giving those. Amen. Not one of them as I ever can recall, and will ask anyone else that can recall any time, that he ever did say anything but was the truth. It always happens just the way he says it will happen. And he is supposed to, according to the scriptures, return to us in this last days in this type of ministry. How much plainer could he tell them what he just told them? He's supposed to do this, and he's supposed to do this. He just did it. That will be after the baptism of the Spirit. When he returns in this ministry, will be William. After the baptism of the Spirit and speaking in tongues and divine healing and so forth and these things. The capping of the Pentecostal message is what we're speaking of today. This ministry of Christ himself. Now just remember, we're talking about the prophet to the prophecy. This ministry of the Christ himself impersonated among his people with the very same things that he did when he was here on earth in his body, the bride, which is part of him, doing the same things as husband and wife or king and queen just before the marriage ceremony. Now let's go on over into I've heard, but now I see. I didn't even know that was the message I pulled that one from. But that's all right. I don't think Brother Don read that this morning, but you know what? It don't matter. If I read it two times or three times today, it don't matter. Now watch. The Son of Man was revealed to Abraham's group as a man. The Son of Man was revealed as a man. A prophet in the form of human flesh. An ordinary man with dust on his clothes, and Abraham called him Elohim. Now, if Brother Branham was one thing before the seals, and after the seals he sat at the table speaking with authority, what went on? What is he trying to point out to us? The things that had been prophesied all that time, was it now that it was the prophecy taking place? That's what he's trying to get to us. Jesus promises here that in the last days, the Son of Man would be revealed again to the same type of group. The royal seed of Abraham. They're the only ones that's going to see it. Now, in a minute, we're going to get over here and we're going to talk about Brother Branham saying that this message couldn't be seen by the denominations. They couldn't accept it. They hate it and they put it out. And right here, he's saying that the royal seed of Abraham is the only ones this is revealed to. Just before the fire falls, remember, the church never received any more witness. Abraham and them didn't. The promised son that they were looking for was brought right after that witness, after that ministry. What did he say? He promises here that in the last days, the Son of Man will be revealed again, to that same type of group, the royal seed of Abraham. And then he goes right down and says, And the church is looking for a promised son. He will come right after the days of this ministry. From the prophet to the prophecy. You see it. He'll be revealed from heavens. Now we see it too plain. It's got to be. It's too plain. It's got to be. Now the only thing there has to be is something pulsates, gets into a man. God vindicate and tells him and shows him that that is the thing to happen. And you're going to, and you can go on and read the rest of that if you want, but we're going to step over into the anointed ones at the end time. Brother Ram said this is one of the strongest anointed messages. It was the strongest anointed message, he said, since SIRS, is this the time? You should read this message. He keeps talking about it in the services after that. How gracious the Lord was to us this morning and how gracious he was to us last week. He keeps talking about this message. This is a really good message. I'm going to get into this one more later on. I got something that I was looking at, how this goes with wisdom versus faith from 62. And then this message and then knoweth it not. They kind of all go together. But I believe that we're living in the end time. I think most anyone, the scripture reader or even a believer, knows that we are now at the end of the history of the world. There will be no use of writing it because it won't be anybody to read it. It's at the end of the time. Just when, I don't know. Just how long it will be, not even the angels of heaven knows that minute or hour. But we have been told by the Lord Jesus, that when these things that we see now begin to come to pass, then we lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. And what have we been, for all years and years now, we've been taught about when you're born again, you're sealed until the day of your redemption. That's what the message was, the gospel was, all through the church ages. You're sealed until the day of your redemption. Then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Now, what drawing nigh means, I do not know. But when we see these things that are happening, then it's drawing nigh. Now, seeing all this accumulation of evidence that the hour that we're now living in, I think it's a good thing to rehearse these things and draw them out since the seals has been opened and find out the truth of these things. As God has been so loyal to us with his grace to show us these things. I want you to notice here in Matthew 24, Jesus used the term Christ and he spells it out, meaning it's plural, not singular. More than one Christ. So therefore the word Christ means the anointed ones. And then anointed one. And then if it's anointed, there will be not only one, but many anointed. The anointed ones. Now watch, he's going to place where this is happening in a minute. This is why I'm bringing this, because it's very important. This message was very important to the bride. Brother Bram said this message come to make sure she didn't get confused at what she saw happen. Otherwise, if he wanted to break it down so we would more or less understand it better, he would say, in the last days, there shall rise false anointed ones, multiple ones that are anointed with the real anointing and they're false. They're not seed. Now that seems almost impossible, see, the terms of anointed. But notice the very next words, and false prophets, plural. He spells it out. Now someone might say to me, do you believe that the anointing on these people means that it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. The genuine Holy Spirit of God upon a person, and yet they are false. So this is why Brother Ram said he's bringing this. to let us know. And he's going to tell us right now. But you see, he sends the rain back to our subject, on the just and the unjust. Jesus tells you here now in Matthew 24, it would be a sign at the end time. When he sends this rain on both, it's a sign that it's the end time. Now, if this sign is only to be known at the end time, then it'll have to be after the opening of these seals. So this is a message that's coming after the seals are opened, that is to warn the people about this anointing on both the false and the true seed. It'll have to be after the opening of those seals. See, it's a sign of the end. That would be when these things happens. It'll be at the end time. So anytime he's talking about the end time, he's talking about after the seals, he said. And it'll be a sign now, so the elected will not be confused in these things. When they see these things happening, these people that will not accept the truth, but they still have these signs in their lives. That's what he's trying to tell you. It'll be a sign so the elected will not be confused in these things. You see that? You see it? Then it's got to be revealed and exposed. What is the attraction on the mountain? All right, now we're back into that message, and we're going to finish that up in here today. Now we're back, and we're still talking about the prophet to the prophecy. And I started up the mountain, running as hard as I could on the other side. And all of a sudden, I thought somebody shot me. I never heard such a blast. It shook the whole country. Now, we just heard Brother Fred telling the same thing. And then it did. And when it did, standing before me was seven angels in a cluster. And Fred said he saw a pillar of fire over his head. Return home, for thus saith the Lord, the seven mysteries that's been hid in the Bible all these years. This is what the angels are telling him. I put this out the other day. That's been hid in the Bible all these years. The Bible, which is the living witness of Jesus Christ. A part of the witness of Jesus Christ has been hid all these years. And he's telling him, go back, because we're getting ready. This is getting ready to be shown. And at the same time he tells him that this is getting ready to be shown, Brother Branham's moved to the head of the table and he becomes authority. Amen. Do those have anything to do with one another? They do everything. It's went from the prophet to the prophecy. Mysteries that's been hidden in the Bible all these years. These denominations and everything. God is going to open those seven mysteries to us in the seven seals. And the other day, standing there, turn the picture to the right, and there's Jesus as he was in the seven church ages, the white wig on, showing supreme deity. Jesus Christ showing supreme deity. He's Alpha and Omega. How can that happen, brother and sister? And he didn't open the seals. Or he opened them partially, or some other nonsense that Satan wants to sell people nowadays. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last. And how in the world people want to tell you that Paul's message is going to bring the rapture? If Paul's message would have brought the rapture, it would have done it back there. Amen. Otherwise, God brought it too soon. Yeah. You see, because what happened when Paul's message went out? It wasn't that it wasn't from God. Is that they were still probing. The book was still sealed. I'm sorry if I'm yelling at y'all. All right, man. But this is real to me. It's realer than it's ever been to me. Amen. And in this hour now, I'm so thankful to God that I got this refuge to run into. This truth that isn't just words I talk about anymore. It's a refuge. It's the thing I lean on. It's the thing that means more to me than anything. I told her the other day, I said, you know, I was praying the other day. And I said, Lord, if you want to take me now, I'm okay with it. I'm ready. Whatever you want to do, if you want to keep using me, if you want to take me, whatever you want to do, I'm okay with it. And I couldn't have always said that. But he put that in me to say it. And it's the truth. He's revealing the truth. Brother Bram said the truth is in you. If you're predestinated, then God's going to reveal what's in you. That's why he's pouring this spirit out. That's why he talks about the false anointed ones at the end time. He pours his spirit out at the end of the day. Brother Bram said it has to take place after the seals are open. You see what I'm saying? After the seals are open is when he pours the spirit out. Because what is he going to do? He's going to bring every seed to light. Everybody's going to be marked. It's going to be marked where it's at. Does that make sense? When he pours out the evening light, the Holy Spirit, then everything's going to come to fruit what it is. There'll be no doubt about it. And that's why he said he shows the bride so that she'll recognize these things. It won't be confused when she sees these people that are claiming to be message people, people being healed and different things like that, and won't believe the message, turning down part of the message. He's the first and the last. He is the supreme judge of all eternity, standing there to confirm the message of this hour. God appeared in the sky to confirm the message of this hour. And there shall be light about the evening time. What's it all about? What is it? I went westward upon that same mountain, passing up. He talks about this in his message. What's the attraction on the mountain? Well, he went out there when him and Fred was there, and that's when the angels came to him. And now he's talking, and this happened almost exactly a year later. It happened on the 29th, I think is what they said. It's when he's out there and he throws that rock up. And upon that same mountain, passing up with Banks Woods there, said, throw up a rock. Say to Mr. Wood, thus saith the Lord, you'll see the glory of God. The very next day, standing there, a whirlwind came down and blasted the mountains out. Rocks cut the top of the trees off, about 3 or 4 feet above my head. Made three big blasts, and the brothers came running over. There was about 15 men standing there, preachers and everything else. A lot of witnesses. Amen. What was it? I said, judgment is striking the West Coast. And I sent out that audio letter to Lee Vail to some of y'all. If you want to read it, I'll send it out to you. Well, Brother Brown talks about this. He says, I ought not to be saying this, he said. On the tape, he says that. He said, I ought not to be talking about this or saying this. He said, but that rock that he threw up and it came back down, he says, that started that earthquake. Yeah. It wasn't just a sign. It wasn't just a symbol that judgment is coming. But that rock started that earthquake, he said. Yeah. And if you notice some other places, I think I have it in here this morning. He said the path that followed up and hit Alaska is the same path that the cloud followed when it went away from Arizona. Judgment. That was the supreme judge. He showed himself there. And then a year later, judgment follows out that way. And Brother Branham said when that cloud drifted west, it showed that judgment was on, that it was the end of time. I think I got that quote. I'll read that to you this morning. About 2 days after that, the earthquake almost sunk Alaska. That is this light up. What is this light? Up on Sunset Mountain in the Coronado Forest of Arizona. What is this strange thing that happened up there that the people have been driving east from west, picking up the rocks that laid around there where it struck? And every one of them, every one rock has three corners on it that it tore off. The three are one. And what did he say? In that day, you'll know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and you in me, and I in you. That's the day. They're laying on desk, on paperweights across the nation. What is this strange thing upon Sunset Mountain in the Coronado Forest? Junior Jackson listening in. You remember the dream that I interpreted, going towards the setting of the sun. And this happened on Sunset Mountain. It's the evening time, sunset time, the sunset message through a setting of history, a setting of prophecy, rather, being fulfilled. So it went from the prophet prophesying to now the prophecy, see? And it shall be light at the evening time. We're not waiting for Brother Brown's prophecies to take place. They've taken place. And it shall be light at the evening time upon Sunset Mountain in the Coronado Forest, 40 miles north of Tucson. Get on the map and see if Sunset Peak there. That's exactly where it happened. I never know it till the other day. Everything that shall never die. It's constantly unrolling itself. From the very thing happening there on the mountain, it's been unrolling itself, and it's constantly unrolling itself, Brother Bram said, to the picture being Jesus standing and looking at us, and how exactly on Sunset Mountain and the sunset light, the evening light has come. God vindicating himself, the prophet to the prophecy. God vindicating himself. What is it? It is the facts that God and Christ are one. And remember, Brother Bram said he had to do this outside of the denomination. That's where God and Christ are one, outside of the denomination. The white, how many seen it? The white wig upon him, as we talked in Revelation 1, see? The supreme deity, supreme authority. No other voice, no other God, no other nothing. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the angels themselves was his wig. What's happened upon Mount Sunset? God confirming his word. That's what all this noise is about. Confirming what word? Confirming Paul's word again? Because that's about all that the message people have today is Paul's message. They talk about the prophet like they believe him, but they're just flirting. I've seen so many flirting with God, it makes me sick. What paragraph was I on? Okay. It's what's all this noise about? What all this noise is about? Notice, it's God fulfilling his promised word again of Revelations 10, 1 to 7. And then the days of the sounding of the seventh angel's message, the mystery of God should be finished. So he just told you what he's... The hidden mystery of Revelation 10, 1 to 7, the last message to the last church age, fulfills exactly in this age. And brother, sister, if he's talking about that, why would he be talking about that if he's not talking about it being fulfilled on the mountain? Why would he confuse people like that? This day when the Son of Man shall be revealed. It's so clear. And there shall rise false prophets and false Christ, show great signs and wonders, insomuch it deceived the elected, if possible, the people still in doubt. And as usual, the church is just as puzzled. And if you want to go back and look at the rest of that message, Anointed Ones at the End of Time, you'll see what he's talking about there. And the science all through Tucson, yet they're writing pieces and putting in the paper. Way back over there on Mount Lemmon, them big cameras didn't see it. Rising up from where we was standing, drifting on towards the west, showing the time is over. Because the cloud drifted west, it was showing the time was over. You see that? I don't know how it could be any more clear, brother, sister. It can't go but a little piece there. It's at the west coast. Judgment struck just in the very way it went. So we see the Supreme Judge arise. We see the prophet set at the table, and we see him throw the rock up and judgment go to strike. And people still don't believe judgment is on. Still don't believe it started. They're still waiting for it to happen. Drifting on towards the west, showing that time is over. It can't go but a little piece further. It's at the west coast. Judgment struck just in the very way it went. Going right up over Phoenix and right on across to Prescott and across the mountains to the west coast. It struck just the way the cloud went a year later whenever he threw the rock up. Right on up into, where was that they going? Right on up into Alaska, and she's thundering, heading right that way. And the God of heaven promised the evening time would have evening lights. 3 years ago, this was a prophecy. What time is it, sir? 3 years ago, it was a prophecy. You know, the prophet giving a prophecy. But now it's history. It's past. It went from the prophet to the prophecy. The promise is fulfilled. What time is it, sir? And what's this attraction? God fulfilling his word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's going to take a bride that's looking for him. And, you know, I brought and talked about here a while back how that Daniel, when he saw them 70 weeks or 70 years, what I can't remember what it was almost up, he started praying because he wanted to know what to do at the end of that. And he started praying and praying. And an angel came to him and said, Daniel, you've been heard. Your prayers have been heard in heaven. And not only that, he told him, and you're much loved in heaven. Think about that. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was looking to see, God, what's my next step here? Because this is the end. Where do you want me? What do you want me to do? How should we act now, Lord? And I think the bride should be doing the same thing. We see this end coming. And the Bible says to gather together. Look what kind of sign that Jesus himself, the incarnated God, standing there in human flesh. Look at that sign. That was the sign. You say, that was an angel. The Bible said it was God. He's talking about at the tent door of Abraham there. Lord God Elohim, standing there in human flesh, showing that he would so anoint his church in the last days. It'll be God working in human flesh again. Now, why is he talking about that if he's not talking about the present? As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So he just tied them together right there. If you want it, if you're standing on your toes looking for it, bride, there it is. He's tied them together. Same kind of thing. They see it right there in the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they that testify of this. See? So we know they're dead. He's talking about why they can't see it in the Pentecostal church and these other churches. So we know they're dead. They can read it right there, he said, and they don't see it. Just like the ones that the Pharisees and Sadducees that could see right there in the scripture what it said about him coming in to you meek and lowly, and that still they missed it. So we know they're dead. God let it die in its own selfishness. Scientific educational program. See, it wasn't about him. It was about them. We're going to hit that again here in a minute. Well, actually, I don't know if I brought that with me. But anyways, all the Pentecostals used to talk about sending their kid away to Bible school. Back when old brother Loyett, them was around here, and they'd run you out of the church. But oh, now it's the greatest thing. My son is away in Bible school. He's digging his grave. So now you think they could take it today? They wouldn't take it back then. So you think they can take this message today, he's saying? You think I'm trying to support ignorance? I'm not. I'm telling you, there's a difference between this intellectual age that has been impregnated with science and so-called figured out and everything. Brother, I can just hear the message. People around the message when I read that. It's so-called figured out. And everything, you don't figure out God. Well, them priests had God figured out so perfect, they knowed how the Messiah was going to come. But he comes so different from what they had figured out. It wasn't scientific. How could this man, being an illegitimate child, where did he go to school at? Where did his education come from? This is what's going through their mind when they see these things taking place with this man. This is how they're thinking. They're not thinking, does the scripture say this is going to happen? Like he said, search the scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. Where did this education come from? Where did he get his learning? Who told him to say that? Who taught him, you know? God just fools them every time. It always comes different. He did in Noah's time. He did it in Moses' time. Did it in Christ's time. Did it in John's time. Did it in the disciples' time. Did it in Wesley's time. In Luther's time. In Pentecostal time. And so has it again. It don't change its pattern. Always comes the same thing. Only reformers through them six ages. Till the seventh. Reformers, six ages. That includes Paul. Till the seventh. And the Revelation 10 said, in this hour, it'll change from reformer to something different. In this hour, it'll change. And it did. Now we're closing. In saying this, finish up the Great Commission. How could they do it? We know they're dead. How could this church, the Pentecostal church that won't accept the message, how can they finish up the Great Commission? How could they do it? We know they're dead. God let it die in its scientific age, all of that. Why? So he could do what? Open up the seven seal mystery to the undenominational bride. He let them die. He let them, they put him out. Amen. And he let him die so that he could open this other up to the undenominational bride. How can people can read that, what he just said there, that these things go on till the seventh. And then Revelation 10 says the hour it'll change. And then go right down here and say this, that he let them die. And they don't see it. So he could do what? Open up the seven seal mystery to the undenominational bride. How can a denomination accept those seven seals when it's absolutely contrary? Serpent seed and all those other things, the whole full seven seals is contrary to what they've been taught. Because they took the old school from their Bible school. Not by faith. They went by intellect. What they could learn. See? You can't learn about God. You can only find God by revelation. the seven seals of God, when it was opened there on the mountain, let God know, let me die right now in this pulpit if that ain't the truth. When it was opened there on the mountain. And I foretold you a year and 6 months before it happened that he told me to go to Arizona, that it would happen out there in the desert. And everything has been said, even to the destruction of California coming up now, and all these other things, and how I told them how many days it would be, how it would be there, this big earthquake that happened in Alaska, and that would be the beginning of the sign of time. That would mark it. That would mark what was getting ready to happen. I told them, he said. And then it happened. From the prophet to the prophecy. And just word by word what it said. It's never failed one time. You've never seen it fail. And it can't fail because it's God's words. And heaven and earth will pass away, but it can't fail. That's right. God had to open up those seven seals, not in a denomination. What's special about these seven seals that he couldn't open them in a denomination? I mean, he's come through six ages of reformers, but this won't take a reformer. It has to take something that's not a reformer. God, to open up those seven seals, not in a denomination. I've always been against it. But out of the denomination, he might take a bride, not a denominational bride. He couldn't do it. It's against his own word. He couldn't take a bride. I mean, those people, Brother Ram said, don't discount those people in those other ages. They believed to what they knew. But he couldn't take a bride yet till now, till after the church ages. He opened those seven mysteries in there. That shows forth, brings forth those things that's been hid since the foundation of the world. In that book, Brother Ram said it became a new book. When the seals open, it become a new book. Those things that's been hid since the foundation of the world might be revealed in the last days to sons of God.
Amen.
The part that's been sealed in the book that we read right there at the beginning of the message about the Bible being a foretold witness of Jesus Christ. He had to wait till this last day to show them. Might be revealed in the last days to sons of God. They brought that forth now before the people that they see it there, you know. I mean, they see it. Sorry. They brought that forth now before the people that they see it there. You now, to this undenominational bride. That's who he brought it to, the undenominational bride. Trying to do God a service without it being his will. Now listen to what he says about Jabin. He's talking about a while ago that he let the denominations die in their selfishness. And he said, David is a man after his own heart, and David was being selfish. Watch. David's objective was bringing the ark to his own house. That wasn't the capital. That wasn't the place. It belonged in Jerusalem. But David was bringing it to his own house. He wanted the revival to be on his own denomination. Oh, if you're an assembly, all right. In other words, if Brother Bram is assembly, he can come to their church. If you're oneness, all right. If you're Pentecostal, okay. How in the world did you ever get anybody, they asked Brother Branham. If you're all these other things, then they'll accept you. But so how did you ever get anybody, Brother Branham? How in the world did you ever get anybody? I said, it's God. The Lord hath planted it before the foundation of the world. He planted it in that Bible before the foundation of the world. I'll water it day and night, unless some of them should pluck it from my hand. Isaiah, I planted it.
I put their names on the book before the foundation of the world by predestination. I'll water it. Just keep on moving. I'll furnish the water. You just spray it out. Right? See? I'll water it day and night unless one of them gets plucked out of my hand. There you are. Won't it come to the city of David? See, that's what he was supposed to do. The city of Jerusalem. There was no place ready for it at that time. And so it is today. These great mysteries that's been unfolded by the seven seals, there's not a place in any denomination for this. It's not a place for the ark, for the Holy Spirit. Would have to quit being a denomination to take it. They'd have to stop taking their own ideas to receive what God's brought in this day. Quit being a denomination to take it. All the way from Luther on down to the Pentecostal oneness, there's not a place that can receive it. Neither can a man receive it and stay in his own denomination. He's got to divorce himself from his own ideas. He'll have to follow the wheat or go with the shuck. Either one he wants to. Christ is our ark, the word. Remember we mentioned last service about you can't carry him on these new carts, he said. These new carts are people's ideas and denominations and stuff. Christ is our ark. Now he's going to show you how it has to be carried. Christ is our ark, the word. They want their denomination. They want their ideas. They want to lean to their own understanding. He cannot be carried on the new carts of the denominations. Can't. This message, it can't be carried that way. His message cannot go on the cart of a new denomination when it's supposed to be bore and come on the heart of a prophet. It cannot. He promised it. It would be thus, and that's the way it must be. So, he's talking about moving the ark, brother and sister. Don't miss that. How precious the ark was. That's where the Holy Spirit stayed over that. So the denomination will never, see that, whatever the Holy Spirit stayed over, that's what the Holy Spirit was anointing. And whenever that Holy Spirit moved, they moved with it so that they stayed with the anointing. And that in this day, brother, that's what he's talking about, not being a denomination. When that Holy Spirit come, and not just the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you become one with God, then you can't be denominated. And that's the only thing. When you have in you that Holy Spirit, and when it moves, you move with it. So the denomination will never receive it. There's no other age that was promised to except this one. This one was the only one. This one's the only one that was promised that it could not be deceived. And it can't. And it's not just because the word says you won't be deceived. That's going to be proven true. That's God's word. But God made a way for that to be the case. The only thing that can't be deceived is God. So the denomination will never receive it. Neither can they receive it. Neither can they receive it. And they're just as blinded to it as the Jews was when they hung Jesus on the cross. The Gentiles. Now he's telling some people something here. The Gentiles are just as blind now to it as the Jews were then. When Jesus said, "Father, forgive them," they don't even know what they're doing. Don't despise them. But just think, for what if you was in them that same condition with your eyes so blind that you can't wake up and see what's going on, so that your salvation is in Biden or your salvation is in some politics or some denominational church or something else hanging around here. How thankful we ought to be. And neither could they see that was their very God. Neither could the denomination see when the prophet was in there that was their very God. That word, it was coming forth. Just like they couldn't see it back there. And when they put him out, they couldn't see that that was their very God. And the message people today still don't see that that's their very God. They're playing all around it. Brother Bram said, the ones that take that word like he said to take it and are standing on their toes looking for it, that's the ones he reveals it to. Not these flirters. I don't care if they label themselves a message or not, but they're still flirting with God. When he was hanging there on the cross and them singing the second 22nd Psalm in the temple, 200 yards away, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Singing David's words in the temple. They pierced my feet and my hands. While they said it, singing it, they were doing it. All my bones, they stare at me. Why hast thou forsaken me? And there, the very God that they had sung about, blind enough to have him tacked to the cross and didn't know it. You think about it, brother. How Brother Bram said this was the most deceiving age. Now, don't the Bible say that the Laodicea church that thinks that she's so great by her denominational numbers, she'll be naked, miserable, poor, blind, and don't know it? What does the blind mean? The blind means for this Laodicean church like it did the ending of the Jewish church. He's identifying it. What's going on? Blind to the very Christ that they had on the outside knocking, trying to get in. Naked, miserable, poor, wretched, blind, and don't know it. Oh God of mercy, why can't the wheat lay in the presence of that sun yonder and see the hour that we're living in? Yes, Christ is our ark, but his original way to do it, not some man's idea. Then here he is. They had his spirit, all right, we know that. They wait upon the Lord, see his plan on his original word in its season to be vindicated. That's what we should be doing right now. And he reveals their faith. He reveals their faith. See that they're holding in their heart, waiting for those promises to be made. What does he do? He moves over there and he reveals their faith by his word. Seeing him confirm every plan that he promised. Not man's scheme of denomination. Not making members for its own ark. Not a bunch of selfishness. They got a Methodist ark, a Baptist ark, a Presbyterian ark. Everybody's going into this ark for the great tribulation coming. Glory to God. I was baptized in the Methodist ark, the Presbyterian ark, the Pentecostal ark. There's only one ark, and that's Jesus Christ, and he is the word. Notice, God told the prophet, said, eat the scroll. He had to become part of the words. In the Old Testament, the prophet of the New Testament, he said, eat the little book. Why? That the prophet and the word would be one. You see, the prophet becoming the prophecy. That the prophet and the word would be one, see? That's the ark. What did he just say a while ago was the ark? That it had to be bore on the heart of a prophet. Is that what he said? And the prophet and the word are one. Brother, if he ain't identifying him and Christ being one, I just don't understand how much more it's going to take. God has promised his word how it would be fulfilled. He's promised it. He's told us how it's going to be fulfilled and how it's going to come to pass. When he chose his bride, how it would be done. It's happening right before you in the name of the Lord, and that's by the original word. The evening time message is here. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm a part of it. It's happening. Everything that he told you was going to happen is happening, he said. I don't know how it could be much more clear about it. You know, he when he come back to from Africa, and in July he started preaching there at the Tabernacle in 65. And it was like a couple weeks in that he brought this anointed ones at the end time. But people started coming to him with dreams. And I know y'all have read about that. How this man from Oregon come and started telling him a dream. And then Brother Junior Jackson come and told him a dream. And then it seemed like somebody else come and told him a dream. And then Brother Bram said they were all alike. And we might get on that some later on, but that Brother Branham said something is fixing to happen. And every time he said something is fixing to happen, something happened. And then when he got down there and he went to preach Invisible Union, that's when Junior Jackson made it down there and come in and said he'd had a dream that he saw that building that they were in. And Brother Branham tells the dream in that message or the next one or one before or something. And he said that he saw the Shekinah glory coming into the building. And it looked just like the building that he was preaching in. Those things didn't happen for nothing. And Brother Branham wouldn't repeat something for no reason. So if you got any questions, I went kind of fast on that. But if you got any questions on it, please ask me. And anytime you want to talk about it, you can text me, you can call me, you can do whatever. I'm ready to talk about it because I got nothing else, brother, sister. I don't have nothing else. I don't want anything else but this. And I believe Brother Branham said that when you hold that word in your heart, that's where the miracles come from. When you hold that in your heart like that's everything, then that's what God starts to bring to pass. If you hold his word in your heart, it has to come to pass. God will make it come to pass. He said he's waiting on his bride to get herself together. And she's been given the word. So we need to just line up with it. Amen. Let's stand.